good ones. I'll be definitely chasing hard for them, but I still would love to ride for outside stables because there is a lot of stables that are going really well, and I think that's the way to go in Sydney. But like I said, I'd still love to ride for Hawkses. They've been a big part of my career here in Sydney, and without John's help, he's helped me along the way, which has been fantastic. And I've cherished every moment I've had with him because I've had a lot of luck.
But in just finally, with the Hawks Racing, you are still very keen to ride for them. And have you told them that?
Oh, for sure. Like, I'd love to ride for them. And any opportunity they give me, I'd jump at the opportunity because they are a powerful stable, and they've got great horses that I personally have a lot of luck with. So if any of the opportunities arise, I'd definitely love to hop back on a Hawks train runner, and because of the relationship we had, we went so well together.
Well, James, I think that we appreciate you coming on, but I think you've clarified the picture. There seems to be stories out there saying that you're now under contract with Godolphin, you're now their stable rider, you've quit with Hawks and all this sort of stuff, but you've clarified the picture that you've now placed yourself as more as a freelance rider. You want to ride for many stables and not just Godolphin or Hawks. You want to ride for many.
Yeah, I want to ride for any trainer that will give me an opportunity. I think it's very important. With the autumn carnival coming up, it's very hard to ride for one stable because you miss a few opportunities along the way, and with just being a little bit more of a freelance role, and saying that, you still got to be loyal to the trainers that have helped you along the way, which I'll still be. But I think in the tough Sydney ranks of the riding ranks, it's a good opportunity to go freelance.
James, thank you for joining us and clarifying the picture. I'm not telling you what to do, but I reckon maybe a call to a few of the trainers that I've mentioned this morning might just clear their picture up as well. We thank you. I will say to you right here and now, if you're going to the races, return back home, because Ray Murray, he has just texted me that Warwick Farm races are today postponed. I'll give you some more details in a moment. James, thanks for clarifying the picture.
No problem, thanks.
Thank you, mate. James McDonald joining us there. So that tells us exactly where that story sits from his point of view. This is the first of Manawatu. The check's the favourite.
Certainly very warm. Here comes the bunny. We're set to break nearly there. And racing, stepping nicely the inside was Ki, preciously gets into its work, then Gummy Gumpster, Chinese Star goes forward, Bundoran Lad is fifth and wide. Back in the race, the Corborn Wally on the inside of Kilimanjaro and Fatboy's Fly the outside. Preciously's got to a lead by three. Ki's chasing it hard the inside, followed around the corner then by Gummy Gumpster down the outside with good strides, then Bundoran Lad, Chinese Star down, they come, nice win Preciously on debut. Gummy Gumpster got to second from Ki, then Bundoran Lad, Chinese Star, Corborn Wally, Kilimanjaro, and the last to go by Fatboy's Flyer.
To the winner, Preciously, $2 and $1. Three, Gumby Gumpster at $5.30 and one, Ki at $5.90. 2-3-1 over the line, race one at Manawatu. Now, repeating the news that Ray Murray, he has just let me know, Warwick Farm races have been postponed after another 21 millimetres of rain since 6 o'clock this morning. There's now some surface water and continuing showers are expected. So Warwick Farm races today have been postponed after another 21 millimetres of rain. That's it for Racing HQ. You can podcast plenty of those highlights through the day. You can tell your friends about them. We'll put up the James McDonald interview also for those that may not have heard it. I reckon there might have been a few trainers listening in NZ this morning. We're going to take a break, and then it's Sean and Nick Quinn with Tab Sports Talk.
On Racing HQ Saturday, we've got the thoroughbreds covered. This is what it feels like. There's the Sydney preview at 8. At 9, it's Melbourne, followed by Brisbane. And at 9.45, we take a look at all the New South Wales provincial meetings. Covering all that's happening in racing, this is Sky Sports Radio. This is what it feels like.
Cab Saddle Up Sundays. Visit some of our most exciting regional destinations.
Orange's turn to saddle up is on Sunday, February 15. Racing Orange's Family Fun Day will be a fantastic day out for everyone. Free entertainment includes jumping castles, pony rides, face painting, plus fashions on the field and more. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing World have the mounting yard covered at Orange, Sunday, February 15.
For more on TAB Saddle Up Sundays, visit gocountryracing.com.au.
On Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader, it's time for TAB Sports Talk.
What about an eagle? What about an albatross?
Adam Scott, you are a star.
Bringing you the latest in local and international sports.
And it is 7 past 10. Good morning, TAB Sports Talk with Sean Cosgrove and Nick Quinn from TAB.com.au. Morning, Quinny.
Good morning, Cosy. It's going to be a very good morning as well, obviously. The weather's not great, but we've got a great list of guests coming up. Craig Lambert, the player welfare manager at the Greater Western Sydney Giants. Former champion footballer both for Richmond and Brisbane, and can't wait to have a talk about him because the Giants have made terrific inroads on and off the field in the last couple of years. I think they've got some great young talent, and I'm really looking forward to getting an insight into what is taken, what it is required to put all that talent together so they can not only become terrific footballers but also grow as young men.
Yeah, interesting, and also we'll have a chat with Adam White too. He's a sports marketing expert looking at what's happening with the games later on. Of course, last night, the Socceroos, I was actually watching the tennis and I've turned back and gone, Struth, we're 2-0. It all happened that quick, which was great. Craig Lambert joining us now. Morning, Craig.
How are you guys?
Oh, I'm good. We're both well, mate. GWS, you've got so much to look forward to this year because every year you sort of look and think, hang on, the boys are getting a year older and a year stronger.
Yeah, it's a fantastic group. They've been together now for 4 years since we all rocked up at Rudy Hill RSL Club a while back. And, you know, just to see how they've grown, not just as players, I heard the intro before, but as human beings and the way they respect the organisation and how we're trying to build a culture from scratch has been really pleasing. It's a great role that my wife and I are in that welfare component. And to be able to see guys like, you know, a Ryan Griffin and Joel Pat will actually choose our club to come and help support those young players, it's pretty exciting.
Craig, when you kicked off there with Sheeds and so forth, you almost had, and you can correct me on this, was it like a, I suppose for want of a better description, like a dormitory style or a clubhouse style situation? A lot of the guys actually almost lived together.
Yeah, well, it was based at Breakfast Point, where we had about 50, 17, 18-year-olds all lived together in 2-3-bedroom apartments from all over the country. And my wife would actually do cooking classes and teach them how to do the washing. It was just a great area in Sydney where we could keep control of 50 young guys that probably have never lived away from their parents. They all ate together at certain restaurants around the Concord District. So that in itself made everyone become really close. And I think when we look back in time, and I've got really great hopes for this football club, is that ability for us to be all together early, travelling out to Rudy Hill and Blacktown, all as a group, I think that created a really good spirit and connection to the whole club. And I believe in the future that's going to be really powerful for us.
Craig, Nick Quinn here. Thank you for having a chat. Now, when you did join the club, your wife Mel did say, I've got 4 kids of my own, but now I've got another 30. And it's sort of that sort of team family environment that hopefully is going to be paramount to success down the track.
Well, Nick, well, you hope so. And I'm really fortunate. I've got my wife Melissa who, you know, we were lucky enough to have 17 years at the Brisbane Bears/Lions. And this group reminds me a lot of those players back then, of your Blacks and your Browns and your Luke Powers, who we were fortunate to have as one of our coaches. But the great thing about that is that, you know, you get to see them grow. If this wasn't going to be a family club, if we just directed everything on the player, I think eventually it would have failed. We've been really big as an organisation to make sure this journey is about mum and dad and uncles and sisters and brothers and all that. And we have created something fairly special and we're really proud of. And we have to keep going with that. It's a brutal competition in the AFL, and they don't give AFL games away. But we believe we've built a great foundation. We believe we've got a really sort of united group, and we're just looking forward to 2015 and just improving.
Craig, one thing that we noticed, and it was only natural with a lot of the players being young, we'd see you go fantastic almost for three quarters, and Sheedy used to say it was a game of quarters quite often rather than the whole game for them. And often you'd see them naturally try a little bit in that last quarter. A lot of those guys this year, this is what's exciting for GWS, they're a year older and a year stronger.
Absolutely, and it's really hard. As you know, with most competitive young players that come into the system, they're highly competitive and they want to get there straight away. So to be able to sell that to the player that, you know, we want to win this quarter. You know, I know we want to win the game. Everyone wants to go out there as a midfielder and get 30 touches. But our ability as a club and coaching staff to be able to work these young players through those early stages when they're playing against men that are 25, 26, that have been in the system a long time, that took a lot of sort of managing the expectations of our playing group. But as I said before, they've been in the system now 4 or 5 years. So the way we finished the season last year, you know, we won our 6 games. We had a lot of injuries last year, so hopefully that can be managed and, you know, a little bit of luck comes with that. But, you know, these guys are starting to get a shape that they look like they're ready to be able to deal with the men, and that's fairly exciting for the whole organisation.
Craig, you as a player after 123 games at Richmond relocated to Brisbane to play another 96 games. Now, obviously, as a player, you went into state, you changed clubs. Has that helped you in your role as well, get a really good understanding of what these players are going through?
Yeah, Nick, it's sort of, it's amazing that when I left, I was 25 when I left Richmond to go to Brisbane, and I was shattered, to tell you the truth. I had the homesickness at 25, so I can only imagine what these 17, 18-year-olds go through, and that's why clubs invest a lot these days in welfare and a lot of coaches to be able to bring these players through. But, you know, the ability for me as a player to see, I suppose, the Brisbane Lions when Simon Blacks and Luke Powers and all these great players first got to Brisbane, people forget their first 2 or 3 years, how hard it was for them to adapt, you know, because they're so close to their families and friends and all that. So it's helped me immensely in my role. So to come here to GWS 4.5 years ago, to see this amazing, young, resilient group that have actually, you know, you want to talk about the Giants. I mean, it's been these young players that you look at, like, you know, your Adam Treloar's and your Dylan Shields and Jeremy Cameron's and Devin Smith's and Toby Green's. They're the ones who've built this culture from scratch. So they're an amazing, young, resilient group that I feel very privileged to have played my part. And as I said before, it's exciting, but we have to keep working hard because the time we don't work hard, this game has a habit of getting the better of you.
And the Giants, more than any other club, have gone down the path of short-term pain for long-term gain, even having to look at the players they drafted initially compared to the other franchise team, the Gold Coast. It was all about youth, getting the good youngsters in, building a good culture, and hopefully success will come down the track.
Yeah, we have. It's been a different path, and, you know, you're always watching Gold Coast, and, you know, we're the two new start-up clubs that have been in the system now for 5 or 6 years. So we've tried to back our young players in. You know, we've been really fortunate, you know, I think over the last couple of years to be able to get Shane Mumford, you know, to Heath Shaws. You know, you've got now Joel Patfield and Ryan Griffin on board. Even guys like, you know, Dylan Addison, who hasn't played as many games as probably what he would like, is a really great human being and has helped our young players develop. So, you know, we think that, you know, we're on the right track. It was exciting the last 2 or 3 games to be able to win those games, and especially with the players that we had out, shows that we've got a lot of depth and we've got some players coming through. But, you know, over the next couple of years, 2-3 years, I think our supporters are going to have a lot of enjoyment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an exciting time for the supporters. 6 wins this year, last season. I reckon there'll be more this year. If you do want to get involved, pick up the phone and get a membership. 1-300-GIANTS or 1-300-442-687. If you've never been to an AFL game as well, there's good membership packages on offer. You can get a 3-game package, dip your toe, and I guarantee once you go, you will never regret it. Now, you've spoken about some of the players you're looking forward to seeing. Which one or two do you think might make the next step this year?
Well, you know, you can always go to the stock standards, Nick, but I think the way that, you know, James Stewart played that last game against the Western Bulldogs where he kicked 3 goals, Nick Haynes had an exceptional first 9-10 games before he hurt himself playing West Coast. I think those two are really ready for big years, and even an Aiden Corr, who's had a bit of injury problems over the first couple of years, I think Aiden Corr is going to be a fantastic fullback for this football club. So there's 2 or 3 I think can make really big inroads this season.
Well, that's a good one, James Stewart. He's a Big man, 197 centimetres as well, and just 82 kilos. So he might be, have a few more kilos put on him in the off-season as well, and we can see him take the next step as well. So, Craig, look, we really appreciate you taking your time. It's great to see what GWS has done since they've come into the AFL, and hopefully that can continue to rise. You toppled Sydney last year, and that rivalry is only going to get bigger going down the track as well. So all the best for the year. Thanks for having a chat, and no doubt we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks so much for your support, guys.
Good on you, Craig. Craig Lambert there, and 1300 Giants is the number to give a call. Get on board with the Greater Western Sydney Giants this year. Watching the tennis yesterday, Eugenie Bouchard and Maria Sharapova. I thought early doors, Eugenie, it almost looked like a little bit of nerves, just hitting long a few times. I thought if you can just get a couple of these in, your confidence up, you're going to test Maria here.
Yeah, the problem was she had that awful opening game where she dropped her serve, and then she didn't get that back in the opening set, and as a result, Sharapova did win the set, and then Sharapova was just too good in the second set. She has been the best back player to go on and win the tournament. It's easy to see why, because she's just she did have that hiccup early on, but look, she's all class. She's $1.20 tomorrow when she takes on Ekaterina Makarova, who's a $4.50 chance. Sharapova now at $2.60, second elect to go on and win the tournament with Serena Williams at $2.45. But I've still got a spring in my step, because you just, after talking to Craig Lambert, that excitement that's coming through about that GWS team, you just know that in years to come they're on the verge of, I think, doing something very special. And for those that haven't followed AFL, this is a wonderful opportunity to get on a young team in horse racing terms going through the grades, because get on them early, you can follow them, and you won't regret it. So I think I might even go on a splurge on maybe even one of those three-game memberships. You've only got to get three times to get your money worth, but the tennis a bit closer to home. We saw another great game last night with Andy Murray. Just too good for Nick Kyrgios. $1.18 in from $1.20 right at the death. Kyrgios at $5. Punters were on the money with the correct set, though. He was $2.30 into $1.90 Murray to win in straight set. So very impressive, and I'm looking forward to picking Adam White's brain, because he is predicting some upsets in the tennis today, and he's a great judge. So if you do feel like having a flutter on the tennis, load up your tab account now, listen to Adam White, and then bet and with your head and not above it, of course. But he's in good form, and I want to follow him again today.
He's with us now. I think, Adam, you're there. We'll have him in just a moment, Adam. My line has dropped out there. Last night, as I said, I was watching the tennis, flicked back to the soccer, and got Struth. We got two goals already. And what a great effort by the Socceroos. Getting them early in the game, too, was, I suppose, the real bonus. But Whitey's with us now. Good morning, Adam.
Sean.
Mate, last night you spoke about the Socceroos. How good was it getting those goals early in the game? Must have been a massive confidence booster.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think it certainly took the pressure off the Socceroos, because the UAE had been so good in beating Japan. So they had to obviously take them very, very seriously and not sort of, you know, treat it as a situation where they were just going to go straight through to the final. And once they got those first two goals, I think it was pretty clear that the Socceroos were going to win. It was just a question of making sure that they didn't allow the UAE to score.
Whitey, it's Quinny here. Now, you've been seeing them like beach balls on the tennis at the moment, so let's hope that can continue today. A couple of matches, and you wouldn't be surprised to see some potential upsets. We've got last year's winner, Stan Wawrinka, at $2.25 outsider against Kai Nishikori at $1.65. These two have played once before. It was at the US Open last year. It went the five sets. Nishikori got the job done. But you reckon Wawrinka might be a little bit appealing at $2.25?
Yeah, look, absolutely, Nick. I'm a bit surprised in the odds here. As you said, there's no doubt that Nishikori goes into the match confident, knowing that he beat Wawrinka last year. But as you said, it was five sets, and when you look at Wawrinka's record here at the Australian Open, it's very good. And you know, we've only got to go back to last year where he actually won the title. So he's got a lot of confidence at the Australian Open and on Rod Laver Arena. Nishikori hasn't played on the main court too many times in his career. Now, I still think there's an element of a question mark about what he's been able to do in the Australian Open. Yes, he's got through to the quarterfinals, but I don't think he's necessarily played his best tennis. And he was on a bit of a roll late last year, and that was when he was playing at his absolute best. I think Wawrinka should be starting this game a narrow favourite. I'm not suggesting there's a lot between the two of them, Nick, but if I can get 215, 225 for Wawrinka, I actually think the odds should be the other way around, and that's why I think you've got to play in that match.
It's almost like the market's been set on what Nishikori could potentially do.
I think that's a really good point. But again, we've got to remember, I mean, Stan Wawrinka has won a Grand Slam. If you look at 2014, while there's no doubt that Nishikori was the player on the rise, Wawrinka was the one that actually won a Grand Slam. and even some of his performances towards the end of the year at London in that season-ending tournament, and then even in the Davis Cup. He comes into this tournament, the Australian Open, with some very good form of his own, and he's sort of gone under the radar a little bit through this tournament because there are obviously bigger names, and then you throw in the Australian flavour as well. But I can't stress enough, he is the defending champion. He's beaten Novak Djokovic on this court, and Djokovic has owned Rod Laver Arena for the last 5 or 6 years. I just think 215, 225 represents the value.
I'm pretty keen on the over 41.5 games. I think it'll be a tight contest. I think it could potentially go 5 sets, but if it goes 4 with a tie break, you'd be pretty stiff to miss on the over. So that'll be my play on this one. The other game tonight, now Novak Djokovic, he's $1.10 against Milos Raonic. It's understandable why Djokovic is so short. He has been popular. He's $1.90 to win in straights. It was a funny game with Djokovic the other night. He got the job done in straights, but it probably wasn't as smooth sailing as he may have envisaged. Will you be having a play on this one?
Look, I'll probably stay out of this one, Quinny, and the reason being is just what you said. I think I'm just not sure exactly where Djokovic is at with his tennis at the moment. He came into the tournament a little bit underdone, and he had some illness in the first couple of days as well. So I just worry about him a little bit. I think he's, all things being equal, Djokovic wins quite comfortably because a little bit like what we saw last night with Kyrgios and also Murray, that Kyrgios relies on his big serve. He didn't get a lot of free points last night against Murray because he's such a good returner of serve. And it's a little bit the same here for me with Raonic up against Djokovic. Djokovic will get a lot of these first serves back, and once you get into general play, that's where I think Raonic will really be exposed. So I'd expect him to get through in straight sets, but just purely and simply, Nick, because of the Raonic serve, you'd think at least one, maybe two of those sets would go to tiebreakers, and then it becomes a bit of a raffle. So my view is to stay out just because of the Raonic serve. I just don't know where you necessarily get the value from, because I think a lot of the match will be dependent on how well he serves. If he doesn't serve great, Djokovic wins in straight, and it'd probably be under total games. But if Raonic serves well, he might jag one of those tiebreakers, and then you're looking at somewhere around the 45-game mark. So I think there are too many variables in that match other than the fact that I think Djokovic will win.
Whitey, when you look at the Aussie results, and you know, we haven't been that successful, I suppose, overall, as far as getting any further now, who do you think is going to be the big improver out of all the Aussies?
I think it's a really good question, Sean. I think, you know, we've seen enough from Kyrgios now to suggest that he's going to be a player that will be figuring in the top 20 by the end of the year. It's not just what he's done at the Australian Open, reaching the quarterfinals. Mm. He's also reached the quarterfinals of Wimbledon last year. So outside Roger Federer, in the last 15 years, he's the only teenager to make multiple Grand Slam quarterfinals. So that's, you know, in racing terms, that's exposed form. I think Thanasi Kokkinakis is the one that's getting under the radar a little bit. You know, he had that tough second round match where he was okay, but it's always tough to beat Sam Groth with the serve that he's got, and you can't get any sort of rhythm into your game.
Why did this one sec? We've got race two, man number two. We'll grab and come straight back to you. Here's man number two.
From the three, just about set. And a racing. Pukkifai Magic out okay in line, starting to drive through with Stand Up Girl. Stand Up Girl leads. Pukkifai Magic goes to a clear second. Then we've got Fangirl, is followed through on the inside by Botany Chris. Then Roger Red running wide, so's Digger Sox. Cutting the inside here, we've got Cuts Deep and Bundor and Lance's last. Up they come. Pukkifai Magic dashes past Stand Up Girl. Stand Up Girl comes again the outside, but Pukkifai Magic is in from Stand Up Girl and they distance the others. Fangirl was third. I think Botany Chris just fourth ahead of Roger Red. Then Digger Sox and the last pair, Cuts Deep and at Bundor and Lass.
3473 Pukkifai Magic, 221.40 for Stand Up Girl, 167 Fangirl, 230. And with Adam White, you're looking at the young male stars who are heading to the future here, Whitey.
Yeah, sorry about that, Sean. Yeah, I was just saying, I think with Thanasi Kokkinakis, I don't think he's too far behind Nick Kyrgios. As I said, Kyrgios may be 12 months ahead in development. But I think if you're looking at things in 2 or 3 years' time, I don't think there'll be too much between the two of them. They're different players. They've got a different skill set. But I'm a big rat for Kokkinakis. And you know, it's almost, it feels like about 2 months ago now that he beat Ernest Gulbis in the first round, the 11th seed. So that was a very big win from the young Australian. And the trick now is for those young players is when they get a scalp, is actually backing it up and going again and playing well 2 days later, which is often the hardest part. And we kind of saw that a little bit with Kyrgios after that incredible comeback against Seffi. He just didn't quite have the same energy levels and the same quality of tennis when he played Murray, particularly in that first set.
Now, the ladies' quarterfinal matches are about 40 minutes away from kicking off today. We have Venus Williams, who's been a big firmer against Madison Keys. Williams now $1.62, Keys out to $2.30. Some potential value here, Whitey?
I think so. I'm inclined to go with the outsider here. I'm not massive on it, but I think, to be honest, this match is going to be on the Madison Keys racket because, as we've seen from some of her earlier matches, that when she's on song, she's so hard to beat. But she can also throw in some fairly erratic tennis as well. And even if you just go back to that match against Casey Delacroix in the first week, you know, Casey Delacroix won the first set 6-2, but it was because Keys didn't play very well at all. And then once she got into the match and started to find her rhythm, she was just completely untouchable. And as good as Venus Williams has got, not only to get to the quarterfinal phase of the Australian Open, but she won in Auckland a couple of weeks ago as well. I think her best tennis is going to be better than Venus. And again, purely and simply on the odds, I wouldn't take Keys if she was $1.60, $1.65. But $2.30, I think that's value. And I think, again, you've got to have a bet at that.
And the other game has Serena Williams, a dominant favourite now, $1.16 to get the job done, $1.50 to get the job done in straight sets against Dominika Kvitova, who's a $5.25 outsider. As you would expect, Serena's been anchored through the majority of tennis bets, and they've played four times before, and three of those times Serena's got the job done in straight sets. She looks like she's hitting form at the right time of the tournament.
Yeah, maybe. Total games here interest me a little bit, Nick, because you know, you're looking at probably around about the 20-game mark there. You look at Serena through the tournament, she's played well when she's had to play well, but she's dropped a couple of sets along the way. And Dominika Kvitova, that performance against Victoria Azarenka, I still think that's the best match quality-wise we've seen so far through the tournament. So what she's going to be able to do is get a lot of balls back, and Serena's going to have to play very well to win. I think she will win, but wouldn't surprise me, even if it's straight sets, that Kvitova still gets a lot of games. So I'd be more interested in having a look, Nick, over the game score in that particular match rather than looking at taking Serena at a really short price or even in straight sets, because I'm still not entirely sold on Serena's form going into this match.
Well, over 20.5 games is at $2.15, while over 19.5 is $1.87, so I might have to have a little play there.
Yeah, I'd be more likely to go that way and even just have a bit of fun and have a small outlay and take, you know, Madison Keys into that second match over 20.5 games. You know, you're looking at those two together is around about $4.50, and I think that's, you know, have a bit of fun at this point in the tournament. I don't think you'd be too confident in a lot of these matches because, you know, all the players have been playing reasonably well to get to the quarterfinal phase. So I'd be more likely to go that way and have a bit of fun with small investments rather than being too aggressive on a one-out play.
Whitey, we're just about out of time, mate. Last question I'm going to hit you with. Who's going to win the title in the men's and women's division?
Yeah, look, I think if Serena Williams can get through this match today, this is the one that I think that the slight obstacle, I think she'll go all the way and win. And I think, you know, getting that $2.60 or $2.40 sort of price for over a winner now is actually a fairly attractive price. So, again, trying to find a way to get value, I'd be more inclined to go Serena Williams to win the title now and get that bigger price rather than taking the shorts through multis today. And from a men's point of view, I can't go past Andy Murray. He was my pick at the start of the tournament. Unfortunately, we can't get the $11 now. He's into about $3.50. But I think he's got Berdych's measure, even though Berdych played extremely well to beat Nadal. It goes that same thing I was saying before about having to back it up and do it again. And I just don't think Berdych is quite good enough for that. And with just a slight question mark on Djokovic, I'm going with the value with Murray. So, yeah, Murray and Serena Williams from here, Nick.
Whitey, good to catch up, mate. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, good talking to you. It's been a while.
Good on you, Adam. Adam White there. He's a real sports betting expert on top of all the games. 10:30. Lots to look forward to today, Quinny.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, we didn't touch on the Big Bash final between the Perth Scorchers and the Sydney Sixers tonight. The Scorchers, they're $1.72 with the Sixers $2.15. It'd be great to see Brett Lee finish his career with a win. If you do think he can complete a bit of a fairy tale and get the Man of the Match award, he's firmed from $15 into $13. Sean Marsh, the only player in single figures, the big hitting Western Australian, he's a $7 favourite from Michael Klinger and a host of players, including Nick Madison at $11.
Good on you, Quinny. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Nickquinn, tab.com.au, Tab Sports Talk, totes with all clear at Manawa 2. Winner 3, Booker High Magic, paid $221.40. 4, Stand Up Girl, $160. 7, Fan Girl, $230. 4th, 1, and all clear there, race 2 at Manawa 2. 29 to 11, Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, number one in racing. Heard throughout the state, including Kyogle on 88.0 FM, Ulladulla on 87.6 FM, Yass on 107.9 FM, and Wollongong on 1314 AM.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here for the McGrath Foundation. Each year we're proud to bring pink to the SCG to help fund McGrath breast care nurses nationally. This year you can bring some pink.